listen, think, learn, grow. Listen, think, learn, grow. Live.
This is the Spirit of Life Metaphysics Radio Program, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Michael Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening and welcome to the Spirit of Life program for Wednesday, February 15th. My name is Michael Kelly and I'm here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening, Michael. Glad to be here. And before we get started, I want to say a shout out to Dr. Kelly and his birthday last Monday. I hope he had a fabulous day.
Oh, thank you very much for that. And yep, absolutely got to echo that. Warm happy birthday. And welcome to those joining us live. We appreciate you. We are looking forward every week to catching up with you. And just thanks for taking the time to join us. And to those listening in the archives, we appreciate that you took the time out of your week to catch up with us. Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit, as well as to explore science and spirituality. In addition to this broadcast, ICMH offers other educational programs that can be found at metaphysicsinstitute.org and tfuniversity.org. And as always, we'll begin tonight with our 9 abbreviated principles of belief. Those are: 1. Do no harm, do right. 2. We believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. 3. We believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. 4. We are all equal. One planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. 5. We recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. 6. We are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. 7. Self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will creates self-completeness. 8. Metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And 9. Expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. Tonight, we have a very interesting topic. Dr. Vicki, you got to help me. Somebody suggested this in the chat before, and I don't know who to honor with that. But the topic tonight is, do the dead care about the living?
And I think that was Dr. Mike.
Ah, good shout out. Thank you.
I think so. That's where that came from. That led to tonight's topic.
And I'm looking forward to it because what a loaded question. I mean, you know, thinking about this, we have to, you know, where do we even start? Do the dead care about the living? Go ahead.
It's subjective.
Yeah.
And look, I'm going to, you know, play the fine center line here for a moment, because if you have not had any kind of experience with, let's say, esoteric or otherworldly kinds of experiences, then you're going to flat out say, no, what are you guys talking about? The dead's a dead and who cares? You know? Mm-hmm. If you have a propensity for reincarnation but still don't necessarily believe in the spirit world, you know, do they care? Well, they're dead, they've moved on, whatever. So this is a very subjective kind of topic. And I come from the place of, in my experience and what I believe to be true for me. So that's kind of where I carry on the discussion from. But I want to acknowledge that there are people who would flat out disagree, and that's cool.
Well,
that's absolutely cool.
I mean, when it's something that's unverifiable like this, that you just can't prove one way or the other, you have to be, you know, open-minded about it and acknowledge that, you know, there's our truth and there is, you know, what somebody else might perceive. I think perception comes into it a lot. You have a very unique perception about, you know, this world and the next that informs your view on it. And I also think, like many things, there's a balance. I think that there's a mix of Do the dead care about the living? Perhaps some. I think there's a situation where, is there a plane of existence where we are in between lives? Is there an afterlife and reincarnation? That's the subjective nature of it that you were talking about earlier. But, I mean, I think one way to examine this are, I thought back to examples you've given, Dr. Vicky, about, situations where you feel like there's a message, if I'm not mistaken, that is wanting to be, relayed.
And some might argue that that's just our superconsciousness talking, or some other kind of realm where there's a residual energy, and that's just how we relate it,
Kind of like
relate
the
to it.
echo.
So it's hard to, that's kind of hard to know. But if we take about this, in my experience, ever since I was a child, other beings and other realms of existence was just my reality. And to explain it to anybody, though, they would just, again, psychologists just have a field day with this and say, no, that's just your unconscious, subconscious, the id, the ego, how the mind kind of relates to, this reality. I rebuffed that because I knew what I was experiencing. In other words, when I know how I think, how I process, and something comes to me that's way different than the way I think, I know it's not me. So it's from somewhere else. So that's where I take it from, and that's why it's become just my reality. But I want to say, even from this perspective, I think that there are spirits who absolutely zip off and don't care. It's like they're ready to ascend, go somewhere else, whoever's left in the dust, that's it. And however we emotionally might want to believe they're here, or we like to believe they're looking out for us, no, they're gone.
I think right,
Not here.
and I think that kind of is where the frame of reference comes into play in terms of what you perceive and then the mix. That if we're going to be try to apply some kind of logic, that there have been very compelling examples and be it circumstantial evidence that there is something that's being communicated from the other side, then you can be open to that. And I think it's important to also think about the question itself, care. That doesn't necessarily just mean communicate. I also think it's interesting to take this from the perspective of even if we can't communicate with the living, with those that we leave behind, do we still think of them? Do we still care? Do we still wonder? And do we
And
perhaps look forward to seeing them again in a different plane of existence, whatever that may be?
now that's my forte. That's where I think that, yes, absolutely. In my experience, in my reality, my perception is that spirits do care. And many people have unfinished business that they will kind of hang around. And don't get me wrong, there's a difference between grounded spirits, where they have their own business to take care of in their own thing that has nothing to do with other people. So the grounded spirits have their own issues. And then there are spirits who visit in between, in between the layers of consciousness, and they visit from time to time. In other words, they're not grounded. They're kind of flying around. Think of it visually as they're flying around out there and visit the odd one and do their thing. Now, they can't necessarily, in again, my perspective, purely subjective, they can't meddle. They can't make things happen for you. But they can certainly be an ally, a friend, and if you listen carefully, they can help to guide you. In other words, put thoughts in your mind, give you ideas, send you feelings, and help us as we go through life. And of course, lending into spirit guides is a little bit different, and I want to make that kind of clear, because I think we all have guides. We all have those and otherworldly entities that kind of help guide us. But if they're people that we've, you know, said goodbye to, do they come back? That's kind of where we're at right now.
Mm-hmm.
That in this conversation. So I do know that my brother now, of course, he passed over in 1985, and he was around all the time. And the most profound experience, well, I had lots of them with him, but my kids were very young at the time. My son was getting over chicken pox. He was very young. And my girls are old enough to babysit. And I hadn't had a break in a while, so I went to this club to see a friend play in the band. Gone with a couple of people. Mm-hmm. And I said, if you need me, page me. Now, those in the days way before cell phones, we had pagers. And so I'm sitting there with people, and, you know, the music can be a little bit loud. And I suddenly saw my brother walk into this club, walk around, and I'm watching him as clear as I'd see anybody, as real as I'd see anybody. And he came over and sat beside me. Now I'm still at a table with a group of people. And I say, what's up? Why are you here? And he said, call home. Now, my pager was going off, and I didn't know it. I said, oh, wow. So I found a payphone. Yes, back in the day of payphones. And they said, Mom, we've been trying to page you, you know. Zach isn't feeling well. You got to come home. Oh, okay. Go back to the table, say, people, I got to go home. And they said, what happened? I saw my brother just dropped in to tell me what I wasn't listening to my pager. And, of course, only one of them at the table knew kind of that I do that.
Mm.
But that's where I think that. And I could tell my kids, too, if you ever get scared anywhere, or you ever, you know, feeling out of sorts, just call your uncle. He'll come and take care of you. And that was our reality. But after, because it's been so many years now, I have tried to tune into him at times. I don't think he's anywhere around. Which, and that started probably about 10 years ago. So for 20-some years, you know, he's kind of helping out from the other side.
Mm-hmm.
And then one day he's not. Maybe he's reincarnated, you know, maybe he's ascended to another planet. I don't know, except that I don't feel him in the ways I used to. Now, could that be interpreted as emotional in the grieving process? I'm sure psychologists would have a field day with that too. In my reality, he's no longer needed here in the same way that he felt he was before.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
It does.
So again, when I see, I think, you know, spirits care. I believe they do care only if they feel they haven't cared enough during this life.
Mm-hmm.
If that makes sense.
Oh, absolutely.
And they're helpers, and, you know, or they have a message because there's unfinished business. And that happens a lot with me with clients. And then I have clients who phone me, and people I haven't met, and they say, oh, I hear you're a medium. And I say, no, I don't guarantee that. Because as a reader, I don't guarantee that a spirit is always going to give a name or I'm going to be able to tell them. So I don't in any way tell people I'm a medium. If it happens, which it very often does, then that's the experience of that. Otherwise, I just say, hey, I listen to the voices in my head, wherever they come from, and this is what I see or feel in a reading. And I know that a lot of other readers would have a different interpretation of things, and that's fair. But I think, yes, they care, but only insofar as whoever it is, let's say we're talking about the dead person, the spirit has to have their own karmic connection in resolve, as well as those who are left behind who are living. And there has to be that connection. Because, like I said, some spirits, they say, oh, yeah, you guys are all on your own. I'm out of here. But, you know, Michael, I remember saying to, I was about 30 years old, and this older Buddhist woman I knew quite well, she'd stop by the house and visit the kids and stuff, and I said, oh, man, this is, I'm going to make sure I'm going to resolve my karma, because I think I just want to go back to the home planet.
Yeah,
and
right.
She looked at me quite mortified. And she said, and it stuck with me forever, is that she said, if we are each, you know, beings of love, traveling the spiral of light, upwards and onwards, and we look back and we see people we love who still are in need, are we not loving enough to go back and help them out? And it really rung a lot of bells with me to be in that place of lovingness, to want to be able to help out. However, I have since kind of shifted my key a little bit to say, yeah, as much as I want to help you, you're on your own. I got to go. So I don't know. And when I get there, I guess I'll cross that bridge when I leave. But
well, and what is time in the other plane, which is a question I was thinking about earlier, and it made sense when you mentioned them being tied to us, and we are still in the flow of time.
Yes.
So will your brother appear again to you in the future is an interesting thought. And if in the next plane of existence, time is not the way that it is here, which I think is probably true, then I think that, you know, well, anything's possible. And I think that, do they care now or will they care later? Is it constant and is it just relative to us? But, you know, we're talking about, you know, the dead and spirit guides, and just want to relay a question from chat. And it's, let me scroll up to see who to cite exactly for this. Basically asking, you know, do you have any tips on how to meet your spirit guide? That's S. Barish. I'm not sure, but
I think when we're born into this life, I think that we are surrounded by energies. We're surrounded by entities, if you will. I don't think it's a solo kind of experience. Although, yeah, one connection is made into a body. You're born into this environment, learning about how to be human, and we have this connection to our spirit, if you will, and those who were perhaps even around us, we decided to make the journey here. I think each of us has those guides, and I think the guides can change along the way. Are there constants? Perhaps you have a constant guide or more than one, but I think spirit guides come and go, or you meet new spirits you haven't met before, like you would people, you know, that always. So I think that is always a guide kind of in play, if you will, you know, kind of helps us through it,
but, you know, taking shifts.
We kind of tend to want an attachment to, oh, I have one spirit guide, or I have three spirit guides, and these are their names, and this is what they do, and they're going to be with me forever. And I think that's us kidding ourselves, to be honest. I think that's our need to feel secure, our need to feel safe, and rather than just kind of rolling with it and being grateful for any kind of guidance wherever it comes from. How do you meet them? Well, I guess you have to know yourself really well first to know what voices are kind of flying around your brain or in your mind that are unfamiliar to you. And or do you have an ability? Or can you teach yourself to have an ability to have a conversation? And I happen to believe that there was one in particular for me as a child, but then I hadn't connected with that entity for about 30 years, and then I had a dream, a meditation, and when I fell asleep and was dreaming, and that same spirit kind of came back to me, told me his name, and said, I was with you as a child, but others, they come and go. So I can't tell you exactly how to meet your spirit guides except to be open-minded, but also be resilient in yourself and be willing to accept the idea that whoever is there today may not be there tomorrow, and that's just going to be okay.
Well, of course, and you know, even spirit guides need vacations, especially mine. Dear God, the things that they have to put up with. But another thought that comes to mind is, and you know, I know this is kind of getting away from, because when we speak of the dead, we are relating to humans that have passed, and usually those that we know. Talking about spirit guides and really anything that's communicating from the other side or a different plane of existence, a different dimension, if you will, however you want to phrase it, do they have to have been human? And I think that's a side discussion unto itself, And of course, we're here to talk about something else, but that's just a thought that was kind of rattling around. But,
you know, Dr. Mike has brought up something interesting in the chat. He said he had a conversation with one of the Navajo Rangers last year. And Mike explained, I told him I've never had an experience with specters, goblins, UFO, or Bigfoot, but I'd like to. His response is, be careful what you wish for. And he says, I'm still looking. I think very often when we look for it, we have an idea of what we think we're looking for, and we can miss the experience.
Yeah.
And I kind of relating to people who always carry their cameras around, and, you know, you're seeing everything through the lens of a camera. But if you put your camera down and you look at what you're looking at, you have the experience, the feeling of it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of like whale watching. You know, people go whale watching. They say, oh, well, and they got the cameras up and they're watching it all. But they're missing the feeling because everything is through that camera. So when you put something in front of you, like something between me and that, it's filtered or watered down. So, and that's likened to an expectation. You know, I have an expectation of what a meditation is going to feel like, or what my mm-hmm. spirit guides are going to come to me and talk to me like you and I are talking. And that's not necessarily what happens. It's the experience of it.
Absolutely.
So you could have, Mike, you could have well seen, you know, unidentified aerial phenomenon and didn't know that that's what that was. Oh, that's another star. But, you know, who knows?
Right.
The Bigfoot, well, I don't know about the Bigfoot. I've talked to people who absolutely believe they've seen it and they've been right in front of it. I would love to see a Bigfoot. I hear they smell really bad, but, you know. Again, I think each of us has our own journeys. And what, you know, what we experience. And again, it's subjective, Michael. That's a thing. It's very, very subjective.
Absolutely. And I think that, you know, what we've talked about before, if, you know, when it comes to a lot of times belief, and when you believe something to be true, if you think that you already know the truth and the truth walks right in front of you or appears in mm-hmm. front of you, Are you going to acknowledge it? Are you going to see it? And that just, you know, is exactly the point. And I think we also have to acknowledge that there are things that we will know to be true that we cannot prove and that we cannot expect others to believe because, you know, I think of Thomas Paine. He was speaking about having to believe in the revelation in terms of, you know, Christianity. And he said, you're not asking me to believe in God. You're asking me to believe in a human being. You know, I have not had a revelation. God has not spoken to me. Mm-hmm. You know, so I'm not being asked to have faith in God. I'm being asked to have faith in a human being. Mm-hmm. So there are pitfalls to that. And while I think, you know, I know you, Dr. Vicky, I trust you. I trust in your judgment and wisdom. And so I'm apt to believe in mm-hmm. what you relay. And that's kind of the individualized nature of it.
I think what happens with the intellectual mind is when we see something that is unexpected or otherworldly, we're doubting our own reality. We're doubting what we see. Therefore, we say, I want that repeated. Prove it to me.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to do it again, Spirit, so that I believe in you. And they don't care. See, that's the thing. So the intellectual mind wants to have something repeated constantly to be reassured that there's something else, but it's still going to interpret through an intellectual lens.
Mm-hmm.
Where we are here in talking about, do spirits care? First of all, you have to kind of entertain the notion or have had some kind of experience that spirits exist. And the next thing is, if you believe spirits exist, the natural emotional propensity is, of course, they care about us.
See? Right.
Which
yeah.
is the pendulum swings in all these different ways.
We're kind of still focusing on us, on ourselves, and, you know,
exactly.
the self-importance, where if when you get to the next plane of existence, you might see things in a perspective where you realize, well, I know that matters in this sphere to you, but in the grand scheme, yeah, it doesn't.
Exactly. And we put our own attachments then onto what we believe spirits will then feel. Mm-hmm. Do spirits care? They care, but without the emotional attachment, which is kind of where we, you know, left off when we were talking to Dr. Zach last, you know, last week's program. And, you know, where I kind of, and before, where I've kind of intimated this thing, we have an expectation, mm-hmm, of what that is, and that may not be, because spirits don't have the emotional body as we as human organic beings have an emotional body. And that's the difference. So through our human lens, we have to say that it's a little more objective. And without all the desires and the wishfulness and, you know, hope and all that stuff, it's more a stepping back and appreciating the journey of the soul, mm-hmm, the journey of the spirit, and, you know, kind of how we're managing our way through the chaos. and that they appreciate, and they have a great amount of compassion, but compassion is in a different compartment than emotion. If somebody can wrap their mind around that.
Well, absolutely. I think so. And it's just leads back to the infinite variety, the infinite diversity of existence, mm-hmm, that, you know, basically if we were to acknowledge the, you know, infinite nature of existence, we realize that every one of these scenarios that we've talked about is likely true somewhere, somehow. But,
well, I guess we, you know, we're still evolving. And I think we've evolved as a species many times before. And just at this stage of our evolvement, consider that Freud, back at the turn of the 20th century, was breaking new ground to think of psychology not filtered through religion, mm-hmm, which meant that was a big thing at that time. So now we are filtering psychology not through religion, but more through emotion. And what I think where we're going next is to kind of work through it or see it through another lens of also spiritually. And that doesn't, it's not just from a point of view of morality or ethics and so on, but it's about who we are, you know, who we are as a being. And we're back to that final question of what is consciousness. And we'll never define that necessarily, but we can acknowledge that each of us has something else inside of us that is our drive, mm-hmm, our curiosity, you know, our desire to continue to live, even when things are the bleakest. You know, where does that come from?
Yeah. You know, it's always made me think about if we look at the materialist view and we acknowledge, you know, evolution and all of that, and these amino acids coming together to form, cells coming together to form, et cetera, et cetera. The unanswerable question is, what is it that drives life to live in the first place? Why does life want to live?
Exactly.
So
that's a huge question, you see. That's, mm-hmm, the ultimate question. Mm. But I think, so in short, do the dead care about the living? Yes, only insofar as if the dead care.
Well, another, you know, life mystery answered. You know, no need to look into it further, so.
Paradox.
Oh, paradox is the name of the game. It's existence.
You know, we got an inquiry through email. Michael and I were talking about, mm-hmm, it before the program, about, what's the word, Michael? It's on the
astral
tip
plane?
Of my tongue. About the astral plane, which I think would be a great topic for next week following this discussion, is what is the astral plane?
Mm-hmm.
And how can we achieve to have that experience?
Yep,
so
absolutely.
I think that's what we're going to talk about next week.
And just a big thank you to Lori who suggested that. We appreciate you listening to the archives, and We look forward to having that discussion. So, you know, I think that's going to be all the time we have tonight. I know that we usually pull in Oracle cards and tarot, but, oh, I don't know. I guess we can probably fit it in. So, you know, it's come to that time of the evening.
I knew he was pulling your leg, you guys. Anybody want a card, put your name in. We'll get through it. We'll get through as many names as we can over the next short time. So go forth, names.
Absolutely.
I got my cards ready. You got your cards ready.
I hope
that satisfied, you know, the question about, you know, do spirits or the dead, as we see it, care about the living. It certainly opens discussions and you know, it's really what you want to believe, but again, we have to be careful about injecting our own desires and what we think we need psychologically and emotionally. Mm-hmm. So,
and the old adage: keep an open mind, but not so open your brain falls out. Right?
Yes. Okay, let's start off with Dr. Edward.
All right,
I think that's what we have here.
And Dr. Edward, always a pleasure. Tonight I have for you number 39, education. Let's see, number 39, education. Continual education is the key to individual and collective consciousness and personal success. Commit yourself to lifelong learning, educating yourself continually. If you don't know something, first look for the answers yourself, then ask if necessary. Gain education and advice through various sources, including people, but always strive to find your own answers. Look for lessons in life experience, situation, and circumstances. Make it your adage to listen, think, learn, grow, and live.
You know, temperance is a support to education, Edwin. I think that's what it's trying to say is, you know, taking your time. You might have a certain agenda for yourself, or you had certain deadlines for yourself, but temperance is like water. It's going with the flow as you're able to, and as it fits into your lifestyle or your life. So I think this is saying being kinder to yourself, even though you set certain parameters or certain expectations of yourself. So education absolutely is continual, and temperance is saying take your time, go with the flow, and, you know, I always say absorb it as well as you can, and just carry on as you're allowed, as your lifestyle allows.
I like it.
Yep.
All right, we have Dr. Mike next, and just shout out to Dr. Mike that he was on an episode of Ancient Aliens that was on February 10th. I don't have cable, so I've been waiting to maybe check it out on YouTube or see if I can stream it. But check it out if you can.
If I could say this, I didn't get it in Canada. I don't know why Canada, you know, it's a day behind. But in the chat, I followed up, and he said he had 2 minutes of, like 2 seconds of fame, and he was a little disappointed. So we're all going to try and catch it anyway.
I mean, probably the best 2 seconds of the whole program, I'm just saying. But, all right. Dr. Mike, tonight I have for you wild card number 6, entropy. Within the cycle of life, there are useful energies, or low entropy, that can wane to uselessness, or high entropy. Their energy stands still, and their entropy increases. They no longer give value to the evolution of life. This can include an attitude or behavior that requires adjustment to, once again, take a new step in renewal and rebirth, thus lowering one's entropy. When one seeks to be part of the solution rather than part of the problem, that one lowers their personal entropy and the world is a better place.
Okay, so I got the Ten of Hearts in support of that, and what I, the first flash I had of this is, you know, finding the entropy of a group. So this could be in the family or inner circle. So you have your own energetic balance and finding your center. But then there's also the center within the numbers. So let's say there's 3 or 5 people who are working on a project. You have to find that energy flow within that group. And that's what I feel that's coming here for you, Dr. Mike, is finding that flow within the group. Now, this may well be your family, but I also feel like it's also outside the family. It's more like in the group. So I hope that makes sense. You're just finding your way through that. So we always kind of have to, you know, feel the room kind of thing.
So, very true.
Yeah. All right. Okay, we have Laura up next, I think.
And Laura, for you tonight, I pulled another wild card number two, and then some. When you have reached your limits and believe you have done all that you can do, reach deep within to stretch your true potential. Do a little more than is needed to, and go beyond what is required to make a positive difference. You can do it, and by doing so, you are leaving the woodpile a little higher than you found it.
Oh, Three of Diamonds. The Three of Pentacles, you know, my old teacher, my late teacher, Magda, would say that that was the church card of the tarot. And, of course, with evolution, we have changed it. It's a place of faith. You know, it's that place you come to kind of to restore yourself or find that inner balance, that spiritual balance. So the and then some, I think what this is saying, Laura, is... guess, are you feeding yourself enough spiritually? You know, you could feed yourself emotionally, intellectually, physically, but are you feeling, you know, as you know, what that term, you know, finding your chi, that center energy where you're all balanced, you know. So however you interpret spirituality, the and then some is, I think, in this case, to give a little more to yourself so that you stay in balance. I don't know. So maybe it's just making a little altar for yourself that you know, walk by and say, oh, you know, reminding yourself who you are as a spiritual being. You know, I have my little things that I don't even know. I burn a little sweet grass or sage and take a breath and, oh, yeah, okay. You know, so That's what I recommend in this case.
Good advice. All right. We have Deb next. Deb, for you, I pulled number 43, expediency. Timing is everything. Some things call for expediency, others require us to slow down. If you have a problem, you can take care of it now or suffer longer and still take care of it later. It takes courage to face important matters when timing and opportunity avails, and wisdom to know when to slow down to assess the correct actions before acting promptly. For success in anything, do what you should do when you should do it. Good card.
And I'm going to say, you got to really rely, like pausing and really relying on your intuition here for a minute, Deb. I got the Three of Clubs, and the Three of Clubs is always about looking in the future. You know, the Three of Wands. Finding that balance point, looking in the future, making a plan. Expediency doesn't say hurry up. And in this case, it's like sometimes we're so afraid of making the wrong choice or wrong mistake that we end up making, like when we're sidestepping our pathway. So expediency can mean, exactly as Michael said, slow down for a minute and know when to move forward. Even though you're thinking of the future, still remain in the present. And this is where intuitive, what does your spirit call to you? Like, what does your intuition call to you? Yeah, it's just because there's an opportunity, it doesn't mean to say yes. Maybe the opportunity is learning how to say no. And that's the learning process of this. So I think this is asking of you, rather than hurry up, it's saying push the pause button and check out your environment, check yourself out. Is this going to work for you long term? So short term, sometimes we have to do, you know, take that job to make some money. We don't like to, but it gives us cash. It doesn't take us off our path to where we're going. So keep that in mind and take a breath.
All right. Good message. We have Dr. Jeff next. Dr. Jeff, I have for you number 31, sacred obligations. A sacred obligation is a sacrosanct duty that any higher being would render for the highest good of all concerned. Sacred obligations include do no harm, do right, pay it forward, uphold individual value all life, extend tolerance and equality, control and change only what one is entitled to control and change, evolve and grow as a human being with higher awareness, promote knowledge, not fear, and more. Continue to aspire to your highest good by recognizing and fulfilling your sacred obligations.
You know, this can be an interesting message here, because as much as each of us must follow our own true path, follow your own journey, making your own decisions that suit you, it's also about our obligations to the family, the well-being of the family, and how we fit in that community of sorts. So when I get the Six of Hearts here, that Six of Cups, that is about family. So your first sacred obligation is to the family, in this case. Your own journey, but how it fits in that, maintaining a balance. So it's not about money over there, or that career change over there, or having or acquiring this or that. It's about the bonds that you have, and how, what brings you that greatest joy. And sometimes we all have to check in with ourselves about that. Nothing out there is going to make us happy. It's what's in here, which is yourself and those who bring you the joy. So I don't know what that means to you at this point, Jeff, except that, pause and just be in the gratitude of, where you are in a place of love. That's what I see in that.
I like it. I like it. And, it's perfect segue. Speaking of a place of love, we have Kathy next. And Kathy, I have another wild card kind of night. Wild card number 5, don't hate. A low energy signature refuses to learn more in order to better accept and understand others. Hate grows in this low frequency. The result is fear, demonstrated as the need to criticize and control others. This is how wars begin, whether it's in relationships or within families or between countries. Understanding does not mean one has to agree. It means rising above the low frequency to do no harm and do right to self and others.
Well, I'm just doing a little bit of an intuitive adjustment here because I thought Kevin was next. So I'm inserting Kathy onto my paper and getting this. That's what happens when the chat goes so fast. I got the two hearts in support of that. So in matters of partnerships, promises, obligations, there's two sides that hit me in this is don't be hard on yourself when you can't fulfill a promise. Maybe you had greater expectations of yourself than were warranted, or greater hopes that you could live up to somebody else's expectation. So again, it's balancing your emotions in that way and calming down. But the other is when someone also has expectations of you and, making certain demands, and that can be very irritating to us. So I think this is just saying, checking in matters of relationships and finding that balance. And, I talked to somebody recently whose husband has said, apparently to her, you used to be more supportive. And her reply was, oh, you are the only one who knew how to be selfish in this relationship. I had to learn.
Whoa.
So
what a line.
That could be in a matter of the workplace also. It doesn't necessarily have to be an intimate relationship. I'm just saying, it could be a parent-child, it could be any number of things, but finding that balance.
Very
good.
Yeah,
that was pretty profound, hey, Michael?
Yeah, absolutely. It was a good line. Yeah. And, Dr. Edward pointed out in chat, and thank you to our card keeper, Wendy. We have a lot of first-time card pulls tonight. A lot of times we have some repetition, or we have a pattern. But so some new paths, early on in this new year. So All right, Dr. Kevin. Now we're tuned into you, and I have for you another card in the life skills suit, number 42, Trust and Integrity. Integrity means being true to oneself, intuitively and sensibly. It is adherence to moral and ethical principles, soundness of moral character, and honesty. A trust betrayed loses integrity, and trust without integrity is empty. Trust, along with communication, is one of the two most important relationship traits. Move forward with integrity, remaining steadfast in the greatest relationship of all, yourself.
Well, Kevin, this is profound, so I trust you're sitting down. You get the Empress in support of trust and integrity. And the Empress has everything to do with growth, seed planting, growing, nurturing. So whatever endeavors that you're into right now or things that you have on board, don't place the same kind of trust into the same kinds of people that you have before. Kind of filter your way through. You're a different guy today. You've been through different things. So look at the needs of the moment and who you're aligning yourself with as you move forward. I've had to do that tons of times in my life. It's like, you know? And so this is really important because you're in a really critical seed planting time. I'm really excited for you because it kind of gets my juices going to feel that. But it's where you place your trust. And also being trustworthy, you know, because we can't be fearful about, you know, trusting. But integrity is the buffer to that. It's you know, what's integral, which is the root word of integrity, what's integral to what you believe in, how you want to do things, and what the fundamentals are, and move forward in a really good way. It's exciting.
It is. It is. I love it. All right. And we have our card keeper herself, Wendy, next. Wendy, we have number 29 in the Service to Self and Others suit, Pay It Forward, one of the foundational cards. Living with gratitude and responsibility extends generosity to others, even with random acts of kindness that offer no self-benefit except the satisfaction of heartfelt kindness. This may be a time to calm the spirit and lift the heart by giving forward. Without any particular reason, reminding yourself that love is the center of all life. Is there a way that you can pay it forward right now? Good card, but I have no doubt that Wendy is paying it forward every day.
Well, yeah, and there's always a flip side to every energy, depending on what the support is to it. And in this case, it's a Jack of Diamonds, so that Knight of Pentacles in tarot language has to do a little bit with work, career, finances. So I'm going to say that don't sell yourself short in what you're worth. So the pay it forward has to come both ways. See, it's you paying yourself forward. So don't take less than what you feel you're entitled to, what you feel you deserve. And look, we all know, Wendy, you're a very kind, giving soul, and you go the extra mile. And in whatever that you do, and you can. We're back.
I'm sorry about that. Don't know what happened. The levels just stopped, and I had to restart there. So I'm so sorry to cut you off mid reading there.
Jamil just said that I got taken aboard the mothership for a minute. I zapped your electronics there, Michael. Okay, so finishing off kind of for Wendy, it's again, that value for value, and don't sell yourself short, and that paying it forward you give, but you also have to pay yourself forward and know what you deserve. So that's just another way of seeing things where it's applied.
All right.
So we have Tabitha, I think, is our last card, as I see it here, Michael.
It is. Okay. I'm going to take my sweet time as people kind of get back on the stream here. And Tabitha, for you tonight, I have number 10 in the existential suit, The Indomitable Power of the Human Spirit. All right, number 10. The human spirit is unequaled in power. Nothing can defeat it. Within your creative ability, you are a powerhouse of energy that can be channeled into any endeavor. Given time, nothing is out of reach for you. Claim your power and live up to your human potential. Apply your powerful spirit to overcoming whatever obstacles stand in your way.
Well, in support of that, Tabitha, I got strength. And it's in the major arcana of the tarot. And I've always seen that as the will of spirit, the will of your own spirit. So you got kind of double whammied here, the indomitable power of the human spirit, but also your own will of spirit. Now, how that applies to life is, it really reduces down to your own drive, despite what others might say. You know, and we hear this a lot in the world. As metaphysicians, not all people are in agreement with us. And, you know, they try to challenge about that. And if you've been feeling like you've been challenged, just take it with a grain of salt and stay on board with your own path. And, you know, stay strong, because you have that in you and you continue to grow. And as long as you know that you're becoming a better human being, that's the only thing you need to check in with. So.
I like it. Very good.
Yeah. Now, as I'm reading in the chat, Tabitha apparently had that card, Power of the Human Spirit, back in November. January 11th. Yeah.
That's the American format.
Oh, yeah. Sorry about that. Now, Jamil made a comment, but Wendy has said Jamil didn't ask for a card. So he's not saying anything in the chat, so I'm assuming he doesn't want one this time. And that's all the names that I see. Mm-hmm. Is that what you see?
That's what I see. I think it's I think it's that time of night.
It is. You know, it's really important to filter our intuition, people. And, you know, we get, certainly Dr. Kelly does, you know, all kinds of mail and emails and comments made. And we have to filter intuition and how we translate that intuition. And that's part of what, you know, Michael and I and Dr. Kelly hopes of drawing these cards do for you, is how to interpret what the interpretation is. Like, mm-hmm. Certainly this is just mine in the moment, but when you get intuitive feelings, ask yourself if that's a fear, a wish, you know, or some kind of prophetic understanding. So, and that's what Magda would always say to me. Dreams, largely, are based on hopes, fears, and prophecy. Well, we can now add in other dimensions and lots of other stuff. But when you have an intuitive thought, be careful that you interpret it in a way as close to the intention of the meaning as possible. It's really difficult. It's not easy, because, again, we're seeing life subjectively. But if you're going through a fearful, hard time, every intuitive thought is going to be filtered through fear. Keep that in mind. If you're going in a real high and life is going really good and you get all these great intuitions, you know, again, you're filtering it through, you know, that maybe a false sense of well-being. And intuition is trying to guide you, hello, you didn't stop at the red light, you know. So it's being cautious. And again, it all comes back to knowing yourself really well and trying to find that balance. Not too many great highs, not too many great lows, trying to find the balance instead of the big, you know, roller coaster ride that emotions and our organics, our body, will often take us on. So keep that in mind as you're going through life, and, you know, it's just being sensible sometimes. That's my message tonight, Michael.
Good message. Good message. And, you know, I don't think I have anything that I could add to that. You know, it's been a fantastic discussion. I always like getting into these kind of, you know, I always say the best question to ask is the one that, you know, doesn't have a, let's say, scientific answer. By which, when we say scientific, we don't mean real. We mean science is a specific method. And, you know, it just makes life interesting, and we have to be open to what is possible. So,
you know,
Rick, go ahead.
Thank you for that. I was just going to say, I've been having acupuncture treatments lately, people, and the one thing I want to, it's a teaser for next week. Every time I have a treatment, I go on an astral journey.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know where I'm going to go. I don't know what's going to happen, but I have a few trippy stories to tell you about going to the astral plane.
I'm looking forward to it, and thank you again for the suggestion to Lori, and looking forward to catching up with you next week.
You
so, but, well, thank you, everyone, and I'm looking forward to it. Until next week, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night, everyone.
Good night, everybody.